Hey, what is up, everyone? This is the Winning Mentality Podcast. I'm Brandon Wu. As everybody might know, I'm Coach Biwu, and this is episode one. Every step forward is a win. And what that means is no matter how big or small your step that you take, no matter how little the progress or how big of a progress that you're making, the result is always going to be a win. And that's the philosophy that I've kind of taken on my own from when I first started training. And that's what this podcast and this episode will be about. The Winning Mentality Podcast is more so a way for me to talk amongst my peers and even my clients about their journey into fitness, how they got there, what it took, the grind, the passion that they have for being in the fitness industry. And while diving into those stories, I'll bring on guests and we'll talk a little bit more, have fun with it, just chop it up as if, you know, we're having a regular conversation, getting coffee or something like that, right? And the point of that is I really just want to hear stories and I want to get to know my coaches on a deeper level, my clients even on a deeper level, and ask questions that normally I wouldn't, you know, talk to them during my sessions or things like that. So that's kind of the basis of what I want to get out of these podcast episodes and just have fun with it. But today we're going to dive into a little bit more about me and how I got into the fitness world, my journey. And I'm only going to keep it short just because it's my first episode ever. I don't really know what to expect or how it's going to go. So if I'm rambling, just bear with me as I get my bearings under me and figure out, you know, the best way to get the flow going and make a more cohesive episode as I get into more in the future. With that being said, we're going to dive into my journey and kind of where I started and how I got to where I'm at now and all the things that happened in between. I might mention, you know, a lot about me being an athlete, how it got me into coaching, you know, being wearing different hats throughout these sessions or throughout the gym space and kind of finding my own. A lot of you that might know me when I first started, I probably came into the fitness industry knowing nothing in terms of, you know, the clients I wanted to train, how to even coach, but also just kind of very shy in the sense where I didn't find my voice. And that was a big wake-up call, because when you first start, as many coaches probably have started in their training, is to teach group classes. And that actually is still probably more daunting than a one-on-one session, because you have to, you know, really project your voice, demonstrate multiple exercises at a time while also managing time and making sure you're cueing, you know, each individual and being able to have a good time and not, you know, drill sergeant. That's not the way I wanted to do it. I didn't want to just yell at everybody. Still wanted to kind of create a fun environment while working out. So that will take us to back in the day in college. Oh my gosh, it was almost 10 years now when I started in 2012. Oh, that is actually 10 years. 2012, freshman year at University of San Francisco, came in as an athlete for baseball and as a walk-on. Didn't know what to expect, you know, coming out of high school. I was pretty much one of the better players in around my area. So me thinking going to college, I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I get to continue what I've been doing. And that was a rude awakening, but also kind of set me up for my career, which we'll get into later on. But throughout my baseball career, you know, I've had, whether it's a baseball coach or an actual athletic trainer guiding me through my high school career, I got a little bit of taste of what it took to not only train, but the dedication it took to, you know, honing on my skill, which was me more so being a speed guy in baseball. Pretty strong, didn't have a lot of power, but I would say speed and instinct, agility was kind of my thing. When I got to college, it was a little bit different. You know, I'm 18, these guys are coming in 20, 21 years old, and now I had to compete with just bigger guys, stronger guys. And about fall 2012, when we were doing fall ball, clearly just the skill level was a little bit different. I still might have been one of the fastest guys, but that all didn't really translate into me playing, you know, well. So by fall 2012, I was cut from the team. And at that time, I just didn't know what I wanted to do. My major was kinesiology, so I felt like I could stick with that and hopefully lead to something. My mind was maybe physical therapy. And I was unfortunately fortunate enough to experience physical therapy my spring of 2013, when I dislocated my ankle playing basketball. For those of you that know or was there, it will get a little gruesome, but the bone in my ankle basically popped out of my body at a intramural basketball game. It's pretty gnarly. There's pictures somewhere around there, but that led me to doing physical therapy for the rest of my freshman year of college, and that kind of sucked because I missed out on just the fun part about being a college student, especially freshman year. Couldn't really walk anywhere, wasn't playing baseball, so I was kind of lost in that sense. Started doing physical therapy, and that gave me the idea of, oh, well, you know what, maybe I can help those that need it or want to get back onto the playing field, whether that's baseball or any sport. But I wanted to continue that. I was like, all right, this guy is helping me. I went to, I believe, St. Mary's Hospital in San Francisco. It was actually down the street from USF. So I would hobble my way up from the dorms, go to PT, work on stabilizing my ankle, you know, walking, running, all those kinds of things. And eventually, I want to say it was 6 months later, so into summer of 2012, I was finally back on my feet. Freshman year was done. And by then, I still kind of was like, all right, this is what I want to do. I know I want to go into some kind of rehab training environment. Summer, I did a internship at Soul PT that was out in actually Berkeley, California. Did a 3-month internship, got to kind of see what it was like for physical therapists to work with patients and then be a PA, which was a personal assistant or physical assistant for those patients. And I would walk them through simple exercises like glute bridges, band walks, or even just, you know, stretching and foam rolling. So that got me into the door of like, oh, this is cool. I can start helping people. I know kind of what it takes now to come back from a pretty bad injury to even walking and then again playing sports again. So that was the summer. And while all of that was happening, I started my sophomore year of college, 2013 fall. And that's when I was like, all right, now I can kind of focus. I could focus in school of the classes I wanted to take specific to whether it be physical therapy. That was kind of the angle on my mind. And by then, I basically wanted to pursue that even more. So I started to train on my own, work out on my own. I found boxing as a tool to, one, get my elasticity back in my ankles, get the strength back, get the jumping power back that I once had. And so I found that to be, one, therapeutic, because now I'm working out, I'm getting more fit, I'm getting more athletic again post-injury. And around the end of my sophomore years, when I found an internship through USF, and it was at Perform for Life. And I'm hoping one day I'll have Bryant and Justine on my podcast. They are the founders of Perform for Life, a big mentorship of my training journey, and I'll get into a little bit more of that along the way, but just know that they are one of the two people that helped mold my career, and a lot of the coaches within that organization, who I worked with for the past 5 to 8 years, we all worked pretty closely together through that internship. I was thrown into the wolves and was basically told, you know what, this is how you're going to get your foot in the door, but you're also going to learn it how pretty much every single personal trainer that I know has learned it, was to start at 6 a.m. every day, or at least Monday through Friday, teaching classes, even observing classes, just to get the hours in. And it wasn't even just that, because Perform for Life at the time, this was in 2014, was a very small business, very boutique gym with only four coaches, and three interns. So the seven of us trying to wear many different hats and learn along the way. It was definitely a grind, probably one of the hardest times of being a coach while also juggling school. So imagine this, waking up, for me, I was living in the East Bay. I had to travel to San Francisco in the morning, waking up at 4:30, 5 a.m., go to work, coach or intern, and do classes, you know, from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., go to school, try not to fall asleep, finish all my work there, try to find some food, finish with school, come back to the gym, do another 3-hour session. By that time, it's 9 o'clock. This was pre-pandemic, so everybody was working out late. You know, I come from work. You want to get that last workout in at 8 p.m., finish at 9. From there, we go home. Took me maybe an hour, so I'm back at home by 10 p.m., maybe finish up some more schoolwork, and then just repeat that process every day. And eventually, I'm probably burnt out, and that was one of the lessons that I learned, was, one, trying to manage my time, but also communicate, you know, with other coaches or with Brian, Justine, of like, hey, you know, I should have told them I'm burnt out. I need to figure out a different schedule, but I didn't do that. And in turn, I might've missed a few classes, overslept, and that led me to another rude awakening of, hey, this is maybe not cut for you. You can't be missing all these days, all these classes. And with that, I was out of the internship for a couple months, until, you know, I was given a second chance. And that's why I appreciate Perform for Life, Brian and Justine, for giving me the second chance. Because without them, I might not be doing this podcast. Winning Mentality might not be here. It might have been, but with that second chance, I was able to take that next step and grow from that. So transitioning, you know, from being an athlete to a coach, it was more or less the same, but very different. Whereas as an athlete, I had this goal in mind that, hey, I'm just going to get better. I want to make it to, you know, a top level, whichever, wherever that took me. And I knew exactly the work I had to put in. But even with that, might not have worked. You know, the the team might not have been fit for me. I just didn't excel more than another player next to me. And that just happens in the world. You know, there's probably 1% chance that an athlete goes to a pro level, you know, within that area. So me competing against them at that level was just a joy. I got to meet a lot of great guys and seeing a lot of them actually go to the pro level. So it was pretty cool. I get to see that. And so transitioning from an athlete to a coach, I had this sense of pride of, you know what, I can do this. I want to work in this world still, work with athletes, you know, train kids or train people who maybe didn't have a chance, and I can give them a better chance to get to that next level. With that, I had to also learn a lot my first couple years of training and coaching. So when I was brought back on to Perform for Life, I had to prove myself once again that, hey, I can do this, but also I need to put in the work and learn a lot more about the training industry and what was more so popular then, or what was the trend, was rehab and getting, you know, getting people out of pain and training more functionally. So I took a lot of classes, a lot of workshops on those type of exercises and programs, which really molded my base of being a trainer. And I was always taught, you know, the more people you work with, the more bodies you see and work with, the better you'll become. Whereas for me, I thought it was always like, oh, I want to just try to coach and train, you know, one or two people and stick with those people and then eventually, you know, expand my horizon there. But in turn, it was better that I saw more people, especially in classes. You see all different types of people coming in and out when they're working out, and everybody moves differently. And there's not one fit all of a program or an exercise. There might be some exercises that everybody does, but everybody moves differently. And I learned that quickly, and I was able to adjust exercises and workout plans. So learning that at an early stage in coaching life, really grateful for that, because a lot of that has stuck with me. And it's been a big part of why I kept coaching, because I found it easier to help people. And that's where I think I wanted to start this career, was because I wanted to help people, and just being able to do that in a light where I can have fun with it, exercise, but also, you know, talk and meet so many different people. So learning that was great. And I pretty much did that, you know, from 2014 through pretty much 2020. And as we all know, 2020 happened, the pandemic, and that adjusted the life of everybody. But it also, for me and a lot of my peers, changed the way we trained, specifically online training, virtual training. Now, that was probably being done not as frequently or not as much in the industry beforehand, but when the pandemic hit, it was like, where are we supposed to go? What are we supposed to do? The gyms are closed. It's probably the one place nobody wants to be, with all the sweat and the germs and, you know, people in there breathing hard. It's just, it was obvious that it was going to take a hit. So we moved to virtual training and online training. With that being said, I had never done it before. And so I take pride in saying that I established a good rapport with all of my clients at the time, that I had, I would say 85% stick with me through the pandemic and was able to train virtually whether they had no equipment or was able to find equipment through the pandemic and create a home gym. A lot of those clients actually have just stuck with virtual since then, and it's just become easier. It's become more of a routine for them to get their workout in now on their own at home, as opposed to coming into the gym. So that changed a lot, and I'm quite happy with it. I actually really like doing virtual training. It actually probably made me a better coach because I wasn't there physically, so I had to learn how to cue better on exercises, demonstrate and talk at the same time while hopefully, you know, they could see me on the screen. Wi-Fi didn't cut out, you know, all those kind of things that happened during that time. And during the pandemic, I also just lost the ability to work at a gym and see people. And that turned me to online training, remote training via a training app that I use through Everfit. And I was able to take an online course, PTBI, that was with Zach Colburn. He introduced me to the life of online training and how I could make it a business. And so that was very intriguing just because I was like, all right, got to go with the times. Now, I would say it started out great. I was able to train a lot of clients online without ever meeting them in person. Even outside of California, I had some clients that would just literally train. They'd work out, follow the program in the app. We'd check in via FaceTime or Google Meets, whatever it was. And, you know, it was good. But at the same time, it was hard to build more of a rapport. And I found out that, you know, I really have to dedicate more time into that online presence, which I did a little bit through social media. And during the pandemic, I would say we also all collectively got burnt out with social media, and it just became more of a hassle. And what I took away from that was how to structure and program a lot better for all my clients, and having everything all in one place and managing clients, you know, from everywhere and anywhere, to eventually when we were able to go back in person, that I had a clear understanding of exactly what this person needs, how to program it, and it was all just in one place. So that made me become a better trainer altogether. So it was a blessing in disguise having the pandemic. But that is kind of where we're caught up now, 4 years later, post-pandemic, into starting Winning Mentality. Now we'll get into that a little bit more in part two, because I will have a special guest coming who actually was there with me in the beginning of Winning Mentality. He helped me with the logo and branding, and he was also one of my clients back in 2016. And so we're going to dive a little bit deeper into his journey in fitness, you know, what it was like being with a personal trainer, and even working with me to create this brand of Winning Mentality. So we'll get into that in the part two of this episode. If you liked hearing about my story, you know, and interested in hearing more stories about my peers and coaches that I've worked with along the way, even my clients' journeys, I would like to bring some of those people on eventually. Please subscribe to this channel, Winning Mentality Podcast, and follow the links below to hear on all these streaming platforms. With that being said, stay active, my friends.